Second, I thought you were going to preach my entire offering today. I got a little nervous. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to 2 Kings. And it won't take long this morning because, like I said, Pastor Steve already shared most of it. So 2 Kings, we're going to go at the very end of chapter 6. Let's start at... Hold on just a second. Verse 32. We've been going over this story of the city of Samaria has been besieged, which means that there's an army encamped about it. Nobody gets in, nobody gets out. They were selling dove dung and donkeys' heads. That was the commodity of the day. You paid a pretty penny for it because there was no food. In the city, it was dwindling down less and less and less and less and less. And we talked about the first week about the doubting perspective, and that was the guard that was with the king when he came to Elijah, and he said, even if the windows of heaven are opened up by God, this cannot turn around. And he said, Elijah said to the guard, it's going to happen. You're going to see it, but you're not going to partake. That was the doubting perspective. And last week we talked about the influence perspective. Because it's all about how you see things in your life. Like Pastor Steve was just saying, it's all about how you see things in your life that's going to determine what's going to happen in your life. And last week we talked about the woman who was completely led astray by the people around her, did a horrific thing to a family member, and then lost it all. She sold everything out 2 days short of God providing. 2 days short. She gave up. And we talked about last week that don't let anybody influence you. Let me say it again. Don't let anybody influence you to give up on what God has told you is going to happen in your life because you don't want to stop 2 days short of that miracle. Amen? 2 days. That's all she had to wait. 2 more days. And today we're going to talk about the God perspective. In the midst of all this chaos and turmoil, I love what it says about Elisha. Elisha was the man of God. He was in the city with everyone else. So he's experiencing the same thing as everyone else is experiencing. He's not different. He's not off in a remote place where he can find food and is taken care of. No, he's experiencing the same thing as everyone else. However, he has a God perspective on what's going on. Let's read verse 32. Actually, back up one more to verse 31. The king is mad. The woman has just talked to him. The king has torn his clothes, and he says, God, do so to me and more so if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, remains on him today. He's after the man of God. Isn't it funny how when things aren't going well, people always go for the man of God, right? Like it has anything to do with them. Anyway, verse 32, but Elisha was sitting in his house. Is he pacing? Is he frantic? Is he weeping? Is he torn apart? Is he freaking out? No, he's sitting in his house, and the elders were with him. Now, when I look this up, when you first read this, I'm thinking elders is like, you know, the men of the church. But you know what elders in this passage of Scripture actually stands for? The old men of a city. The older men of a city. They're not out freaking out. They're not out. They're with the men of God. That should tell us something. Sometimes God gives those who are older than us wisdom because they have been there, done that. And instead of running around, freaking out, trying to figure things out by themselves, what do? They are sitting in the house with the man of God. They are getting close to the source because they know that there is no other way out but the Lord. And they're all sitting together. And the king sent a man ahead of him. But before the messenger came in, Elisha said to the elders, do you see how this son of a murderer has sent someone to take away my head? They're probably all looking there going, nobody's come into the room yet. And he says, look, when the messenger comes, shut the door. Hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? And while he was still talking with them, there was a messenger coming down to him. And then the king said, surely this calamity is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? He didn't have a God perspective, did he? He came ranting and raving. He was ready to take off the man of God's head. He was freaking out. But where was the man of God and where were the men with him? They were sitting in his house, not freaking out. Their minds were not wandering. They were in one accord. One accord. When you have a God perspective of things, it doesn't matter what's going on around the city. It doesn't matter that there is no food. It doesn't matter that there are no resources. It doesn't matter what anyone else says, because you can be sitting in the presence of the Lord. And what does the Lord tell Elisha in verse 1 of chapter 7? Hear the word of the Lord. They weren't just sitting around. They were waiting on the Lord. And God was faithful to them. Hear the word of the Lord. Tomorrow, about this time, a sephah of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, and 2 sephahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. In one day, all of this is turning around. In one day, all of this is turning around. But you can see the response of the guard, those who were not sitting in the room, who were not with the man of God, who were not getting a God perspective. Their immediate response was our first perspective, doubt. Because when you aren't close to the source, the farther away you go, the less and less and less your perspective is going to be lined up with the word of God. That is why your Bible is so important. It is so it is vital. In these last days, if you are not in this, seeking the Lord for your life, you are going to have the voice of the guard. Or you're going to have the voice of the woman. You're going to be doubting, or you're going to be influenced by something other than the word of God. And what happened to both those people? They missed out. They sold everything out, and they didn't get to experience the fullness that God had for them. It doesn't matter what the economy of this world is. It doesn't matter what the economy of this nation is. What matters is, are you plugged into the economy of God? And you do that every time you take your tithes and offerings and you put them in the offering plate. Do you know that this is the most highly disputed thing in the church, other than healing, is tithes and offerings? People work so hard to get people convinced not to give. Why do you suppose that is? Because in this envelope is not just money, it's my heart. And my heart says, nope, my finances don't mean more to me than God. It's an act of submission. It's an act of obedience. It's me saying, I choose to walk into that room of the man of God, and I choose to be there. I choose to be there. Pastor Steve said, don't let anybody talk you out of your healing. Don't let anybody talk you out of your finances. I don't care how eloquent they are. I don't care how much they have to say. Can I tell you something? I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. Never. Never. Tithers and givers always are provided for. I've shared this story before. My parents were amazing people. They took in foster kids. But not only that, a lot of times they would go above and beyond. And I remember one year that was it 3 or 4 that you put through private school? 4. Besides their own 3, they put through private school. And it's expensive. And I can remember that the groceries were getting low. And as a teenager, we're all like, next paycheck is when? You know? But my parents had taught us that when you tithe and you give, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. A knock comes on the door. Weren't expecting anybody. Dad goes to the door and he says, are you Larry Sneer? And he said, yes, I am. He says, can you open your doors? I've got some stuff for you. What? They unloaded a car filled with groceries. Filled. Our entire kitchen table, front to back, filled with groceries, not the off brands. They were the expensive brands. You know how I remember my little sister, Stacy? I remember she really, really, really wanted to be able to give the box tops and the soup labels. And I remember her very first response when she put her hand in and she pulled out a Campbell's and she said, Mom, I can give to my school now. I've got a Campbell's label. But do you see her heart? Her first response was to give. You can change your world. You can change the people around you by being the example. You can show them, not just in your tithes and your offerings, but in your testimony of how amazing God is. We serve a big God. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. If you'll not hold out, give him everything. He blesses. Yesterday we were working for the church, as Pastor Steve shared. And we were at Home Depot getting stuff for the church. We had to organize several of the things in the storage room and in our storage or in our classrooms. And we're in the midst of doing that. And Lane comes up and goes, Mom, they got lawnmowers on sale for this amazing price. And I'm thinking, okay, lawnmowers generally are really expensive. We've looked the last few years and had to buy secondhand, which is good. You know, it still works. But walked over and they were like $137 for a bagging lawnmower. Do you know how unreal that is? That is unreal. And so right in the middle of us serving the Lord, doing something for him, what does he do? He blesses us back. We were able to get the lawnmower and everything else we fit in the back of my van. We serve a good God. Amen? So even while you're doing stuff for the Lord, guess what? He's right there to go, thank you, honey. Here you go. Or in Lane's case, here you go. Brand new, red, shining one. Brand new. Woo! He can't wait to mow our yard. Our God is faithful. Our God is faithful. One of the biggest things on my heart this year was to take my family to Hawaii. I've had two things that I've really wanted to do for my kids. I wanted to take them to Yellowstone National Park, which we did a couple years ago, and Hawaii was the other big one. And so I've been saving and planning and doing all these things. And in the midst of all this stuff going on with the church, it's been a lot of unknowns for me, a lot of things that I don't really understand. And so I've had to learn some things and negotiate things. But when you sit in the presence of the Lord and your trust is in him, he has a way of bringing things so unexpected in one day. And our family got blessed. We got really blessed this past month. And we get to go to Jesse Duplantis's conference in New Orleans in April. All of us. And it was so exciting because their first words were, does this mean Hawaii's out? And I said, nope, Jesus took care of New Orleans, so we still get to plan for Hawaii. So my kids are going to get to go on two trips this year. You see, when you sit in the presence of the Lord, and you don't freak out like the rest of the city, and you don't give up, and you don't doubt. He doesn't just take care of your needs. He does exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could ask or imagine. Don't let anyone talk you out of what God has planned in your finances. Let's have a God perspective, and let's be like the men who sat in the room waiting for the voice of the Lord. And in one day, we know everything changed. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just praise you for this day. We thank you so much for your presence that's here today. And there's someone in this room that needs to know that they cannot let someone else talk them out of what God has planned for their life. And I pray today, Father, that Your word says that sometimes the seed falls out and the birds come, or the heat comes and takes it away, and or the weeds come and choke it out. But I pray today that this word is deposited on hearts that will go deep. The roots will go deep, and they will pull forth a harvest of such magnitude in our lives, Father, that we will never again be those who doubt. We will never again be those who are influenced. We will only be those who have a God perspective, and that we will see those fields and fields and fields and fields of sunflowers, Father. The harvest so big that our family's going to go, what in the world happened? And we're going to be able to declare, just like Elijah, the word of the Lord. This is what happens when you sit in his presence. This is what happens when you give your tithes and offerings. This is what happens when you serve him with your whole heart. Let me bless you. But guess what? You reach out to the Lord. And let our lives be such an example that they will listen to the word of the Lord from us, and they won't miss out on what God has for them either. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for blessing every seed that is sown today. A full, full harvest, Father. Blessed to be a blessing, able to give, able to reach out to those in need, able to be that person that stands in the gap. And we praise you and we thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. We love you, kids. Oh my goodness. She's adding something there too. Praise God. We are free. Somebody say, I am free from the old. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And, you know, one more thing about, I kind of put us coffee drinkers on the spot there this morning. I was here this morning myself with a mocha walking around in this room. So I'm not correcting anybody in particular about bringing coffee in the church. It just was a reminder to me to, you know what, Steve, get back to, you know, respecting the sanctuary and just bringing a water, that kind of thing. But we're going to do it. Amen. And we're going to be a blessing to the, there's going to be another church meeting here in the afternoons, and we're going to be a blessing to them. Amen. And God is just, I spoke with the pastor this week, and we're going to meet and so forth. But God is a big God. Amen. So we just got to let God be God. He's good at it. Amen. And we just be us, and we're just going to see him move in supernatural ways. Well, let's pray over this word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this word, Lord Jesus, that you would speak to our spirits and minister this word to us, God, and we'll just receive it with thanksgiving today. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to respond to what your spirit is saying to us, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. Somebody say amen. Amen. And next week, our prayer, if you are coming to pre-service prayer or planning on beginning coming to pre-service prayer, we'll be in that room at 9:30 next week. So, you know, you can come early. You don't have to come at 10. You can come at 9:30, 9:45, you know. I'll be here probably just after 9 setting up and so on. So it's just going to be a great thing. It's kind of, God is just kind of streamlining us. And like I said, we were here yesterday going through all of our storage and classroom and so forth. And we put a lot of things in the dumpster. We took a van load to Goodwill. Again, the old things are passing away. And it's a good thing when God comes in and streamlines his house, right? I think there's more than one scripture that refers to God as a farmer who comes to prune the trees and cut the branches off that need to go. And why? So we can be fruitful. Amen. So it's going to be a wonderful time. Amen. But our foundation scripture for this message, we are continuing on the series, When You Pray. Somebody say, when you pray. And not if you pray or when someone else prays, but when you pray. Somebody say, I pray. You need to do your own praying. And I shared this probably the past couple of Sundays that I had watched a Kenneth Hagin Sr. YouTube video. He was teaching about prayer, and he was talking about the body of Christ, the church in general, needs to grow up and come into a place that we're not just always looking for somebody else to pray for us, but that we know how to pray ourselves. Amen? And I would say that's a big differentiation between religion and having a relationship with God. Is prayer is having a relationship with God. You communicate with him. And I'm Shelley and I are celebrating 19 years of marriage on February 5th. Amen. And there hasn't been, I don't think, a single day that I can remember that we have not spoken in that period of time, right? And it would be really difficult if that were the case, right? If I only spoke to her on Sunday, or on Easter and Christmas, or if I only got to know her through what other people say about her, and I'm married to her, right? No, somebody say, not cool, not cool, right? If I slept on the couch instead, or in the doghouse instead of together, right? Marriage is about together, oneness. Well, it's a picture of our relationship with the Lord. There's a oneness with him that he desires and made a way for us to have it, and we can get as close to him as we want to. He's not keeping me at an arm's length from him. If there's a distance between me and the Lord, it's not of his doing. Amen? So we just need to be talking with him, communicating with him. No matter what's going on in your life, talk with him about it. Go to his word and study it, but spend time talking with Jesus. There's an old gospel song, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about it. Tell him where it hurts. You know, bring him, instead of telling Oprah or Dr. Phil or whatever, or your friends on Facebook, right? Come to Jesus about it. Amen? I mean, if you want someone to feel sorry for you, then you can go to all those other people. If you want company for your misery, there you go. Write your congressman, they'll pass a law, and you'll get paid for it if you want to, right? Or you can get free from it. Somebody say, I want to be free from it, man. That's called growing up in our faith, right? And it begins with having a relationship with Jesus, You don't have a relationship with Jesus through your pastor, right? Or through your television, or through your grandmother. Well, grandma always said, well, grandma might have been wrong about that. She was right about that pie that she makes. Oh, man, was she right. But there might have been some things that grandma was incorrect about in terms of how to know the Lord, right? Amen? Or I'm just using grandmas. We don't want to beat up grandma, right? Grandma's in heaven right now in many cases, right? And great, great, great grandma, right? But we come to Jesus for ourselves. You come to him for you, and we pray for one another and lift each other up and so forth. But you have every right to come to God for yourself. And in many of these other faiths, they talk about you have to come through this prophet or this, you know, you have to climb this mountain or light these candles or spin these beads or, you know, do all these good deeds so you don't come back as a fish, right? These are lies. These are not true. Or you've been too bad to come to God. You don't qualify because what you've done is too awful. That is a lie. Or you've been too good. You don't need that. You don't need Jesus. You're not in prison. You're not a murderer. You're not a psycho. You're not a pervert. So therefore, you don't need that. That's a lie too. Amen. We all come to Jesus. Somebody say, remember the Billy Graham worship song, Just As I Am? You come to him just as you are. And you just check in with him often throughout the day. Be praying. But we've been teaching about the Lord's Prayer here. And one of the things that Brother Copeland said that, you know, the Holy Ghost showed him for this year was going to deeper places of prayer. And I felt really inspired to teach on the Lord's Prayer as I learned it. Amen. And back in the 80s, I was in my youth group, believe it or not. They brought to us a series by a pastor named Larry Lee that was teaching the Lord's Prayer as an outline. And it changed my life. I mean, to this day, I come back to that. Amen. And so that's what we've been looking at. But let's read Matthew chapter 6, verses 6 through about 15. That's our foundation text. But you, when you pray, this is Jesus speaking. So he says, but you, when you pray, go into your room. Somebody say, my room, right? When you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, this was probably groundbreaking news to these men and women that were listening to him, referring to God as their Father. They knew those who believed in him knew that he was his Father. But you're saying, me pray to my Father? Now, somebody say, wow, that's getting deep, right? Amen? And when you pray, verse 7, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And that word think, I mean, we need to be using our brains, but sometimes we need to get out of our head, right? Because your head will you know, processes things that you see in the natural, and so often we correlate that to what's happening in the spiritual, but it's not the case, right? You come to God through your spirit, not your head. And that's a big difference, I think, between other religions and having a relationship with Jesus, is other religions appeal to the head, you know, philosophy and this kind of stuff, the you know, climbing to new levels, ascending to new levels mentally. And that's really devilish and demonic kind of stuff. Amen. So we come to God through the Spirit. Amen. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Now, if Jesus is saying pray like this, what should we be doing? Listening, right? Amen. Our Father in heaven, if you know it, or if you have it, or say it with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Somebody say amen. So that's what Jesus would call a perfect prayer. Amen? And I think he probably knows what he's talking about, right? And he says this, the next couple verses are important too. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father, your Father, forgive your trespasses. So if you don't want your prayers hindered, don't walk in unforgiveness toward people. Don't hold things against people. Don't get offended at people. Amen? Don't be mad and hold grudges against other people. Amen? Even if they're in the White House, even if they're on television, even if they're number 12 and play for the Patriots, I have to forgive. I have to just admit, okay, he's the best ever. I admit it. I forgive. The Seahawks didn't make it this year. Why hold a... Why, I mean, seriously, those are funny things, but there's a truth to it. So I enjoy listening to sports radio. There are little pieces of it. I have to just get it in little pieces because it's mostly junk. Just people mad. This grown men acting like little kids, mad at each other. Are you kidding me? right? I don't. And what happens is, if we're watching that, if we're feeding on that, if we're giving our attention to that, we're opening the door to this thing called strife in our lives, right? And the Word of God says that strife and division and discord opens the door to every evil work. So it's not just a little thing to get offended at somebody. So the instant I get offended or you get offended, the Holy Ghost will turn the light on and say, let it go. Just let it go by. Just ignore it. Just overlook it. Somebody says something on Instagram or whatever, Facebook, maybe directed at you. Doesn't mean you have to respond to it. Amen? You just release, just let it go. Amen? And what that's going to do is, you know, holding something against that other person is not going to hurt them. It's going to hurt me. It's going to hold me back. Somebody say, I'm going to let nothing hold me back. Right? I'm going to walk with Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, in the first couple weeks, they're posted on our website now, but we talked about the fatherhood of our God. These are important things to go through, right? And last week, we talked about the names of God that the Bible goes through. It's important to come to those things and meditate on these things and pray them. Remind yourself of them. Amen? I want this also to be kind of an interactive time where we're not just teaching and ministering on prayer, but actually doing it. So what I do is I'll come with my notebook, quiet time with God, my Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And I'll just go into, Father God, I thank you for being my daddy today. I thank you that I don't have a care in this world. I thank you that you're my provider. I thank you, Father, that your word says you are Jehovah Tsidkenu, my righteousness, Jehovah Emkadesh, my sanctification, right? And I actually put these in your notes, in the notes here, and there's the teaching that we did last week on it. But you go through the names of God. Who is he, right? The name of God, Jehovah Jireh, in Genesis 22:14. My God is the God who provides all my needs. I thank you, Father, that my needs are provided today according to your riches and glory. You are Jehovah Rohi, the God who sees me, the God who is seeing to every issue of my life. You know, you just go through these things. You don't have to pray everything exactly the same, but you're meditating and confessing these things over your day. Hallowed be your name, God. I thank you that your name, Jesus, is the name above every name today. Hallelujah. I thank you that you're Jehovah Rahabeth, Genesis 26:22, that you are the God who makes room for me and causes me to be fruitful. We're seeing that even in church. God continues to make room for us in miraculous ways, right? And Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals me. You're Jehovah Nissi, right? The Lord is my banner of victory and protection today. And you're praying these things, you're confessing these things, you're meditating on these things, you're reminding yourself of who he is. You're not reminding him of who he is. you're saying these things and confessing these things yourself over your day, over your life, right? And there's, you know, just a number of different names there that we went through last week. You can check that message out online. But it's really amazing, and as I was sharing that Pastor Larry Lee taught this as an outline. And so many people have, over the years, just used it as, like the word would say, vain repetitions. Right? What did you do? Okay, 18 Hail Marys and 47 Our Fathers. And that'll cover it. Well, no, that's not what you need to do. You need to have some revelation behind what you're saying, right? I can teach a parrot to say Our Father. I remember Pastor Huck saying they had a parrot in their office for a long time that when people walk in, it would say, pay your tithe, pay your tithe, right? And that parrot didn't know what he was saying, right? So there needs to be some revelation behind the words. And when you get revelation behind the words, then you can release faith for things, right? Amen. So he's your dad. Somebody say, he's my daddy, right? He's my Abba Father. And hallowed be your name. We just spend time praising the Lord. Brother Copeland, again this week, was at the minister's conference. I didn't get to see most of that, but they played a snip of it this morning. And he was reminding everybody of the power of praising God, that praising God is a key element in your victory, right? Of directing our praises to the Lord and exalting his name and just lifting his name up and being loud about it, right? Praising the Lord. So much of this prayer comes to praising the Lord. Just you can walk around your house and praise God, turn on praise music. Again, this is something you can walk through in a few minutes, or you could spend all day doing this. Amen? And the Holy Ghost is the one who will show you what to do. Amen? But we're going to focus today on the verse 10. Say verse 10 with me. Your kingdom come. Say, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's amazing to me that this prayer really encompasses, I would say, every kind of prayer the Bible talks about. From praise and thanksgiving to victory to supplication, asking the Lord, you know, believing God for things, to intercession. This one, I would say, is the intercession point. So you came through, he's daddy, you came through, the names of God, you're praising the Lord, now it goes into intercession. Right? What's intercession mean? It means you're praying for other people. Amen? Before I pray for myself, pray for others. Right? Amen? And he says in Romans 14:17, the Bible says, "For the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." And Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Amen? So he's talking about the kingdom of God coming to earth. When you say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're not just saying that as a robot parroting a phrase, right? Think about, how is it in heaven today? Somebody say, perfect. My Faith Foundations class this morning, there's, you know, probably, I don't know, 20, 30 people that are on the chat during it. And some people were in, this one lady is in Wisconsin, it's like 5 below there today. Another lady's up in BC where it's about 5 above. And there's another lady in LA where it's 80. Right? And we're and just kind of chatting about as this thing's getting started. But it just reminds you, how's the weather in heaven today? Right? It's perfect. Right? How's everybody's health in heaven today? Is the emergency room full in heaven? No. Does there need to be an emergency room in heaven, right? Is anybody sick in heaven? Is anybody impoverished in heaven, right? Is there any kind of hatred and strife? So he's saying, Jesus is saying, literally, pray heaven down to earth. Amen. Who thinks earth could use some more heaven around here, right? Amen? Praise the Lord. And so this is a good thing to pray. Father God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praise the Lord. And if you look at Genesis, you'll find out people are made of earth. God scraped up some dust together and formed a man and breathed into him, and what did he become? A living being, a living spirit, a speaking spirit. And I heard a minister this past week say, and then he upgraded man when he created woman. He said he created the man and said, I can do a little better than that. Praise the Lord, right? So the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So we're praying, literally, we're praying, Lord, the righteousness, the peace of God, the joy of the Holy Ghost, come and be done on this planet, on earth as it is in heaven. So what part of earth do you live on, right? Washougal, Vancouver, whatever, Clackamas, Gresham, wherever you live, There could be someone in Iran today, right? Praying this same prayer. Someone in Israel, someone in wherever they are. Praise the Lord, right? And I was listening to Billy Brim teach on this late last year, and she was talking about the scripture that says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, right? And she was talking about how the word peace literally means oneness, and how when we're praying, because if you read Revelation, there's coming a day where there's going to be a holy city come out of heaven and literally come right down on top of Israel. The city of God is coming right out, and it's going to land right in Israel and be there for the millennial reign. Amen? And so she said, literally what you're praying when you're praying for the peace of Jerusalem is that this oneness of the holy city of Jerusalem coming down to join the earthly city of Jerusalem. I mean, that gave me goosebumps, man, hearing about that. It was just like, wow, that's going to happen. It's going to happen. Amen? But we're praying for God's plan and God's purposes to be established in this earth. Because if we don't pray, guess whose plans will be established? The same guy's plans that he's been trying to establish since before time began. Right? Trying to kill, steal, and destroy. That's the one who's doing that. So when you hear of something being killed, stealed, or destroyed, that's not an act of God. Right? Because God's will is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. He's doing good stuff. The devil's doing the bad stuff. Amen? So God needs people to be praying. To be praying. Prayer gives God access to move on this planet. It gives angels access to move on this planet. In words, you know, that's why we have to watch what comes out of our mouth. That's why we have to guard what goes in our eyes and in our ears, because it goes into our heart and it comes out of our mouth. And whatever comes out of our mouth with any kind of faith behind it gives angels or devils access. Right? That's why we don't walk around saying, oh, I hope they didn't get in a car wreck. Oh, I hope I don't go broke. Oh, I hope I don't get cancer. Oh, I hope that, no. Somebody say no. That shut your fear up. Just say fear in the name of, in fact, that's what started my study this past week, as I was kind of dealing with some fear issues, and I got into Psalm 91 and just started studying it out, and he led me into 3 John and showed me some things. But it was just like, you know what, do not, and I remember Brother Copeland again saying, fear tolerated is faith contaminated, right? We don't tolerate that stuff. That's why we spend time in prayers like this, is because we're ridding ourselves of the junk, of the old things, and moving into things that God has for us. So instead of saying, I was afraid of that, like you read the book of Job, not a lot of believers think the book of Job is proof that God will do bad stuff in your life to teach you something. God didn't do the stuff that Job had happen in his life. If you read in Job, there'll be a scripture in there that Job says, the thing I feared the most has come upon me. All God did was show the devil, hey, there's the door, you idiot. It's right there. It's if you want access to Job's life, he's giving it to you, dummy. And then God, of course, pulled Job out of that and gave him double for his trouble. Right? Amen. That's the God you serve. Right? So when we pray, we don't waste time worrying. We come to God and we say, Father God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Glory to God. Now, I changed something in the notes, but I'm going to change it back right now. Philippians 3:20-21 says this, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Somebody say, I'm a citizen of heaven. So as a citizen of heaven, you have rights, if you're born again, right? If Jesus is Lord of your life, you have rights and responsibilities. Amen? You're a representation of heaven on planet Earth. So therefore, you have the right to say things that God tells you to say and the authority to see it carried out on this planet, because you're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. It's just like an ambassador to the U.S. who lives in Nigeria, right? He has rights as an American citizen in Nigeria. And if anybody messes with him, guess who's coming to visit Nigeria? Amen. Right? The U.S. Marines might just take one jet. Amen? You have rights as a citizen of heaven to say things on this planet and expect them to come to pass. Amen. You have authority on this planet. Jesus delegated his authority to you and me when he left this planet. Praise the Lord, right? That's why Acts 1:8 says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth." That means literally like Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. That to them, that meant home, where I live, the surrounding areas, and literally out all over the world. So when you pray, you cover those areas. Somebody say, cover your bases. Cover your bases. Well, first of all, here's how I pray. And Billy Brim, again, was teaching on how the Bible says to, first of all, pray for those who are in authority. And I've been doing that. Instead of first just going automatically to the people that are closest to my heart, right? Shelly, Lacey, Lindsay, Lane, Luke, and me. Shelly, Lacey, Lindsay, Lane, and Luke, and me. Shelly, Lindsay, Lacey, Luke, and Lane, and me. Yes, yeah, Steve, I get it. But you know, there's a bigger world out there, right? And the Word of God says this. Who thinks we should be biblical, right? And again, you know, talking about things like prosperity and healing. Well, you're a prosperity preacher. Well, no, we're Bible preachers. We're preaching the Word of God. Healing and prosperity are in the Bible, right? So who thinks we should be biblical, right? Well, here's what the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. Therefore, I exhort first of all, somebody say first of all, right? That supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority. Amen? Why do we pray that? Here it tells us right here that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen? So God desires everybody to get saved, to come to knowledge of Jesus and be born again, right? But it says here, first of all, lift up those who are in authority. So I come to him and she taught us, you know, Lord, President Trump, right now, I lift him up to you. Vice President Pence, their families, the Congress, the Supreme Court, and that includes Nancy Pelosi. That includes anybody who doesn't line up with us, you know, doctrinally, spiritually, whatever. You're not called to throw stones at them. We're called to pray for them. Amen? So we lift them up. The Supreme Court, and Mr. Roberts, all the Supreme Court, we praise you, Lord, for the wonderful work you're doing in our nation. And God, we ask that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven in the United States of America today. Why? Because that's the country I'm a citizen in, right? And that's my leaders. Amen. And we lift them up. We intercede over them. We pray in tongues over them and bring it all the way down to where you live. Governor Inslee, Governor Brown, right? We and I need to improve on this. I need to know what their names are. I don't think I could name the mayor of Washougal right now because we just had an election and all that kind of thing. But we can improve on having names. I remember my friend Pastor Brad Mikowski, and he would literally hold the phone book to his chest and pray over it. And say, God, just touch every, you know, there is a passion in prayer. And that's intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer can be passionate. I mean, you're laying hands on people's lives, your schools, right? your school districts, your governors, your legislators, your representatives, covering them all, down to the Boy Scout leaders, coaches. And I'll pray this. I'll say, Lord, add and subtract as you see fit, and give us wisdom as we vote. Your people in the right places of authority. And I'll pray over government. I'll pray over, you know, entertainment industry, athletic industry, medical industry, education industry. Lord, add and subtract as you see fit from all these places of influence. Amen. Why not? Hollywood, Lord. Have you noticed an increase in faith-based movies over the past few years? People are praying and doing stuff. Amen. And Hollywood is noticing that there's a market for people who actually believe God. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's called change. Amen. And so we pray these things out over our nation and over our leaders. Next I move into the church. Right? Ephesians 1, 15 and 16 says this. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. We need to be praying for each other, praying for the church, the church meaning across the world, not just 811 Northeast 112th, but the church all over the world. God, anoint every pastor, every leader, every missionary. Maybe there's certain people you're connected with. You pray over them. Pray over the Copelands, the Word of Faith group, you know, all those people, the Baptists, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, the Catholics, the Four Squares, the Assemblies, everyone who is preaching the name of Jesus. Father, I lift them up to you right now, and I pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in them, in their churches and ministries and their families. You know, you're interceding for them. Do you know Christians around the world, a lot of them are in life danger for having faith, for teaching the word, for doing what they're doing. Brother Rick Renner, you know, in Russia. Those aren't necessarily Vancouver, Washington over there, right? So we cover them, Jesus. We apply the blood over them and their families. And we intercede for them. And we ask you, Lord, to just cover them with the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Ghost today. Minister to their needs. Amen. We have each other's backs in this army, right? We're in the army of God. Amen. We're in the army of God. And we don't get on each other's backs about maybe they're teaching a little different. If they're preaching Jesus, they're my family. So get off their backs. I got too much of what I know to do to think about what someone else is doing and criticize them for it. That's 3 John calls that evil to do that. No, that's my brother. I'm not their commanding officer. I'm supposed to love them and pray for them. All the more for those, Jesus says, that those who, you know, come against to hurt you or criticize you, pray for them. Pray for them. Lord, touch their eyes, help them, Jesus, heal their bodies, touch their families. In Jesus' name, you know, we pray for one another. Amen. So pray for the church and each other in this church, of course, right? Lift up one another. Father, I lift up everybody at Redeemed Church today. I call them covered by the blood, the righteousness, peace, and joy, the Holy Ghost, the kingdom of God come and be established in their lives. You prosper them and heal them, Lord, and protect them and cover them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We cover one another in our prayers. Amen. And then it comes to our families, right? In Acts 16:31. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Somebody say, me and my household. I mean, pray for everybody in your household, not just those who live in your house, but those who are related to you in any way, form, or fashion. Anybody who came through your house, right? Anyone, blood relative or not, anybody who you consider family, pray for them. Pray in tongues over him. Father, kingdom of God come, will of God be done, on earth as it is in heaven, and me, my wife and my kids today, in our parents and grandparents and brothers and sisters and brothers-in-law and sisters-in-law and nieces and nephews and aunts and uncles and cousins and second cousins, and be listening, because the Holy Ghost might bring specific people into your mind, right? And Father, particularly, I remember so-and-so right now. Whatever's going on in their life, I cover it in Jesus' name. I remember one night as a, I don't know how old I was, maybe 18, 17, and I was woken up out of a sleep just to intercede for, I didn't know who I was interceding for. Just a burden came on me to pray in the Spirit. And as I was praying, all of a sudden this really bright light came on. And literally, it was so bright, I had to open my eyes, and it was like I was seeing spots everywhere because it was so bright. And then when I closed them, it was gone. And I had a release, like it was over. Well, the next day, I found out there was someone in our church that was going through a really rough issue, whatever it was, and it was right at that time. And they got over it. They got through it. So we don't know sometimes what we're praying for, who we're praying for. The Holy Ghost knows. The angels of God are waiting for orders, right? And so when it may come on you just in the middle of the night, you might wake up, might be the middle of the day. You might be led to fast a meal just to seek God and pray. Just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, right? This is a living thing. You can't just put a checklist and say, do all these things at this time of day. And, you know, it's good to have a routine, but the Holy Ghost is alive. This word is alive, and he'll lead you on how you should do it, right? But we cover one another. I'm talking second cousins, third cousins, people you don't even know. You're praying for them. You're calling their names out. Like I said, you can make lists, right? And just intercede for their lives. You don't know what their spiritual conditions are. You don't know if Jesus returned today. Do you know Jesus is coming back, church? Right? And it's important that we be on the first plane out of here. Because if we can't serve him now, it's even going to be harder after he comes. Right? There's going to be stuff on this planet that no believer wants any part of. Amen. Think it's tough now, right? So we want to be praying that people are saved first, right? God, help them all know Jesus. Help them all be saved. Send someone into their life that they can receive from. Bring something to their memory that they connect with, that connects them with you, Lord, right? Amen. So that we all get to heaven and there ain't nobody missing. And they'll come to you and say, the angel that brought me here let me know that I'm here largely because of your prayers. Thank you. There'll be some thank yous and some high fives, right? Amen. This is glorious. Amen. So your family. And it says this, a couple scriptures as we close today. Isaiah 43, 5 and 6. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. To the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. We can pray this. We can pray this out. You talk to the north, the south, east, and the west. You say what God says. North, all those people that need to come to Jesus, give them up. South, all those people that need to come to Jesus, turn them loose. All the ministries out there, cover them today. East and west, give them up today. You know, you're speaking things in faith and giving angels assignments. My kids have never flown in a plane before, so they're kind of excited about we're going to New Orleans in a couple months. And I remember this as a kid, just thinking that airplanes that are taking off, is, you know, depending on how far you're going, that must be about as high as you go. Right? Well, we live kind of close to the airport, and I grew up kind of close to the airport, but I was with my son Luke yesterday, and there was an airplane kind of taking off. We live in Washougal, so they're kind of ascending, and I was like, yeah, son, that one probably took off about 2 minutes ago, right? And I said, now you see that one? Up in, it was a clear day. And it's like this little line. And I said, that's what you and me are going to do. And he's like, Dad, what? What? I was like, yeah, yeah. You know, you have to get up there, son. You go 500 miles an hour, and you just go till you get there. The pilot knows what he's doing. I was like, and Luke, guess what? The angels of God are up there, and they're even higher than that. And it's all good, man. It's all good. It's all good, right? Amen. Just reminding him that there are angels in the atmosphere, right? So when you're calling things out from there, we're going to head south or southeast at 500 miles an hour. I was telling my kids, you know, guys, when we've driven to Disneyland before and it takes us like 2 days, which is fun. You stop along the way and have a good time. 4 days actually there and back. You know how it takes us 4 days to get to Disneyland and back home? We're going to be in Dallas, Texas in 4 hours. I mean, talk about perspective, perspective. And when you're praying and praying in the Holy Ghost, God gets things done, like Shelley was saying, in a day, in an instant, in an instant. That, you know, in the natural, there's no way, right? But with God, somebody say, there's a way. There's a way. Nothing is impossible for God. Nobody's too far gone. Amen? Praise the Lord. I want to just keep going and go into the next part of the prayer, but we'll do that next week, right? On Super Bowl Sunday. I'll be wearing my Joe Montana jersey. Who is the second best quarterback in history? I admit it, Lacey. Amen. Luke 11, verses 18 through 20 says this as we close. Jesus is speaking, and you know, he's being criticized for being a faith preacher, for casting out devils and healing people and not doing it the way he should, right? So he says this, if Satan... And they say he's doing it, and you know, with Satan's help. How ridiculous is this? That's why the Lord showed me 3 John this week, and it was so plain. It's like excommunicating believers because they're preaching. John says, I pray that you prosper and be in health. And anybody who says anything else is just evil. And if they're hurling insults and calling you names and tearing you down because you're preaching the whole truth, that's wrong, and I'll be there to correct it soon. Amen? So, but Jesus addresses this, and he's talking to these guys. Hey, guess what? If Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say I cast out demons by Beelzebub, who is Satan, right? In children's ministry, we invented a character. We did these little videos for the kids sometimes, and we invented this kind of snake oil salesman and called him Uncle Bub. And we filmed it at a car demolition place, and he's trying to sell the kids on the three down step program from Uncle Bub. I'll lead you into death. I'll lead you into destruction. And guess who played Uncle Bub? It was me. Amen. So that's where that was inspired from, this name right here, right? Because you say I cast out demons by Beelzebub, if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Amen? So, just wanted to point that out, that he is the kingdom of God, Jesus. And again, I was listening to some ministry this week and just reminded on the power of his name, Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the kingdom of God himself. And his spirit is on the inside of us. Amen. So what do? Somebody say, I pray. Or like Dr. Cho would say, I pray and I obey. Amen. Praise God. Let's all stand up on our feet and we'll pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just begin to thank him and praise him for his words today to us and his reminders to us today. For some of us, these are new concepts that you haven't really thought of before. For others, these are reminders. And the Holy Ghost is going to continually lead us into areas of prayer and places of prayer that we maybe didn't even know were possible. And we're going to go there. Somebody say, I'm going there. I'm going there. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we submit ourselves as vessels of prayer to you. We commit our lives to be people of prayer today. You said in your word that your house will be called a house of prayer. So, Lord, we choose to be people of prayer, and we'll keep these things in our minds and thoughts throughout the day. In Jesus' name, we give you all the praises and glory, God. Just tell the Lord, Father, I commit myself to being a person of prayer, a person of your presence that practices your presence every day. And I will not hold offenses against people and walk in unforgiveness, because that will interfere with my prayers, which could interfere with your kingdom coming and your will being done in areas that I'm supposed to be covering. So I'm not going to do it. In Jesus' name. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Well, today is our final day of being able to linger for a while out there. So next Sunday, we'll have to be out at right about now. So, but today we can enjoy one another's company, and we'll still have probably around a half an hour after church anyway in the duration. But bless you. Amen.